Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. We're going to help our friend Paul Verzi, super comedian, who's at New York Comedy Club in Stamford, Friday, Saturday night, four shows. We're linked up. He's got a podcast with another very good friend of ours, Bob Kelly.
Yes.
Who, it's called Bone to Pick Podcast.
Bone to Pick Podcast, yeah.
And what is this all about?
So what happened was, me and Bobby, we always had this chemistry. So anytime he would come on the Verzi Effect, we would have a viral moment. And every time I would go on his YKWD, we'd have a viral moment. For 9 years, when I would be on the road touring, or he would be on the road touring, fans would go, you and Bobby, you and Verzi, you guys got to do something. You finally got to do something. And finally, he was on the show. He was on the Verzi Effect, and it started to happen. It was like, look, we're doing this. So we were talking about, me and him always used to say, I got a bone to pick with you. He go, you know, Verzi, you never call. You know, he was doing that. Yeah, I go, no, I got a bone to pick with you. So then we're like, let's call it bone to pick. We'll do the things that piss you off, the things that piss me off, and then we'll have callers or people write in and do what pisses them off. And it's starting to take off.
Oh, that's great.
Nice.
It's taking off. And listen, we all have those things that piss, you know? Like,
yeah.
And the nice thing is we have big bones and little bones.
Yeah.
Little bone could be just a little traffic thing you're trying to weave in and out.
Yeah, a little annoyance, yeah.
Big bone could be, you know, just...
It's funny. Traffic things aren't little to AJ. There's no traffic thing that's little to him. They're all big to
him. That's a major boner for me.
Oh, that's... Yeah, the traffic is big. Yeah, yeah. I guess when you're a comic, you drive so much, you're just like, listen, it has to be a small bone to me because I'll kill, you know,
yeah,
I'll be in jail.
You'll be angry for your whole life and you'll murder her family.
Why are you looking at me?
203-882-9757. It's kind of like Ticked Off Tuesday. It's like, what's annoying the crap out of you right now?
Right.
But let's keep it non-political.
Yes.
There's enough of that.
Yeah.
So just little stuff.
There's other stuff.
Like, let's go do religion. No, I'm kidding.
But I heard Bobby was doing the drive-thru.
Yeah.
Like, you get in the drive-thru, and then you got some office lady in front of you who's ordering for 17 people.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that freak, that gets, see, to me, and we got into it a little bit with that, to me, it's like, look, let's, the people that are ordering, that's going to happen. You know, a lot of these people are animals. No, you know, you just get pack in a caravan.
Animals, right.
You pack in.
They are.
Yeah, let's get 15 nuggets. Let's get all these fries, sodas. You know, I expect that. He thinks it should be some quick four family member thing. Well, I don't know about that.
It is called fast food. So if you have a large order, you should not be in the drive thru.
If you're ordering for 17 people, get out of your car, go inside.
Number two meal with a medium Coke, I'm out of here. You're
I
for the whole office. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, no, I expected it because a lot of these people are, you know, I don't know. I don't want to say broke animals.
You said animals?
Yeah, they're animals.
They're broke animals.
Yes, they're disgusting animals who need to spend $17 for 85 people to eat. That's what it is.
It's really for them. They just use those as an excuse.
I tried to be nice. These people are animals.
So on the podcast, do you play point, counterpoint? So if someone brings something up, like you say, I have a bone, does Bobby have to try to be the counterpoint to that?
No, but we'll call it, like, we're starting to make up names of bones, so there'll be a bone within a bone.
Okay.
So if Bobby's given his bone, and I have a bone to pick with that bone,
like
we
marrow?
Call it a bone within the bone, and we go in, and now the fans are loving that.
Oh,
so
a
it's
bone
like,
in a bone.
Yeah, a bone in a bone.
Like a marrow.
Like, but the funny thing is what bothers Bobby doesn't bother me as much, so it's our bones are different.
Okay, that's good.
You know, yeah. Like,
you don't want to say the same thing.
You don't
want to
have this. Exactly. Yeah. So, like, he's less patient with certain things. I'm more patient with, so we know we kind of just throw each other alley-oops. It's perfect.
So you're a perfect couple for this.
It's a perfect, And he knows my nuttiness. You know, he'd be like, Verzi, you're out of your mind. You know, and I know his because he's nuts.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
we both know our
you compliment
neuroses.
Compliment your nuttiness.
Exactly.
Right. Who's normal, really?
Yeah.
Ross and Trumbull.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey.
Hello.
Yeah, it's that time of year with all these kids and adults riding the dirt bikes up and down the road and blocking traffic and all that crap like that.
It's not just five. It's like 80 of them.
Yeah, or 200 in some
cases. Oh, yeah, that's what I mean. It's like 80, 100
of them. It's like a parade. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And they just drive around. We were in Bridgeport last week. We're at a restaurant. We're sitting there, and we watched the cop go up the road, and there was 80 of them following the cop up the road, and they did nothing about it.
Following the cop?
Maybe it's at the Pied Piper.
Really.
Maybe he was leading them. He was leading to the precinct. Follow me, kids.
This is another example of why I couldn't be a cop, because I would just put that car in reverse and just
go bowling.
Full blast.
Right. Watch this.
This is my last day on the job and potentially as a free man.
But I'm going to get that 710
in society. Yeah. I've had enough.
Look at that. Perfect.
Kids are taunting me now.
Right. But is this not bicycles?
Illegal.
These are dirt bikes, ATVs,
quads. Packs of them.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, last week in New Haven, they were talking about how they're getting stricter in the whole nine yards with it. And, like, we've done so much, we've impounded 5 dirt bikes. 5 out of 100's nothing.
Right.
You know, they just keep doing it.
Yeah.
You
know, well, these are the politicians who, when you see them building a building, they have the helmet and they're there and they turn the dirt shovel and they leave.
The gold shovel.
That was progress to them.
Right. Yeah.
So, all right. Thank you.
I've said before, and I'm serious about this. This is not a joke. This is dead serious. If I was a serial killer,
if you were,
my target would be cyclists. Yes.
Cyclists.
Yes. Right. It would be the documentary on me. The documentary on me would just be a bike on its side with blood dripping off the spinning wheel.
Right.
And a helmet. That's the thing. And where I live, there's no shoulder. So these and they know they own the road.
Oh, yeah.
They know they own the road. They're arrogant.
They got you.
They go like this. And listen, I got my kids in the car. And sometimes you got to go around. There's a car coming. And they don't care. And then they give you looks. Oh, dude. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what the problem is with them? Is they're all in good shape.
Yeah, but they
can't. You really have to.
It's rare to see a fat cyclist.
if he's fat, he just started.
If you get into a fight with them, they're not going to get winded.
Right. Yeah. Plus, but they can't run at you with those stupid shoes they had to fit
the
pedals.
Oh, they slip. Yeah, right. They slip.
They can't run in those things. It'd be like a lady who broke a heel chasing after you.
Yeah.
I would love the interview I had him in jail. Like, you know the way they interview serial killers in jail?
Yeah.
I would be adamant and arrogant about my actions.
The bike killer.
Yeah, I killed cyclists. I did.
Really?
Yes, I did. Yep. They had it coming. Yep. They had it coming.
They call him the Schwinn Slayer.
I would be arrogant. I would say, good, bring whatever network's coming in here because I need to talk about it.
Yeah, I want to talk to everybody.
Right. I almost hit Letterman, dude. Letterman lives, I'm not going to say my, but David Letterman lives, you know, up in the country. We're in our area, and he jogs.
Oh.
And
can you imagine?
And there's no shoulder, and he's just kind of just jogging, and I remember honking, and he kind of looked, that would be horrible, but that would be a bad.
Wow, can you imagine?
I got a Netflix special out. That's kind of what I want people to know about, not the other thing.
It would be Paul Verzi, Netflix special. Also, guy who killed David Letterman. Hey, Bill.
I am furious every freaking day. 15 minutes to work, 15 minutes home, and there's trailers on the parkway. They don't belong on the parkway. Nobody's doing nothing about it, and it's really ticking me off.
Okay, this is a very Connecticut issue.
Are you a trooper?
The mayor of Parkway.
I wish I was a trooper, because I would be up on the on the junction of 91 southbound nailing these buttheads every time they come down.
Is there a GPS that tells truckers they're not supposed to be on a certain highway?
Well, I would think so, but I'm not even talking truckers. I'm talking, I just passed two landscaping trailers on my way in to Hamden today. Last night, I go to Windsor to visit somebody 3 times a week, and it's an hour up and an hour back. And when I get on the parkway, it's U-Haul trailers, it's landscaping trailers. There's a guy up here with a horse trailer 3 times a week. And then there's the Dewey pickup with the fifth wheeler trailer hauling heavy equipment.
Right.
On the merit.
No, I'm not supposed to be
on the merit.
Yeah.
On the merit.
Yeah.
And I'm just talking between Wallingford and Milford. Who knows what happens on the other end?
That's pretty low.
They're coming from Route 8 North, and they get on the parkway, and they come across the bridge, and they think it's a free ride all the way to 91.
Oh, for them it is at the moment.
if no one's pulling them over, they're not wrong.
Right.
Nobody's pulling them over,
right.
And it's really ripping me a new one right now.
I can tell.
And you said you're going to visit somebody?
My
therapist.
My son is recovering from double heart attack last year.
Oh,
in Windsor.
Sorry, Bill. Okay. Man,
well, you got to learn how to relax then, because this is a family thing with the heart attacks.
Yeah.
Well, so, I'm 60. I just turned 60. He's just turning 30 next week.
All right. Well, way too young to have heart conditions. Yes. Learn to relax.
Okay.
But thank you.
Yeah. Yes.
All right. Take it easy, guys.
You too, man.
We don't want to get him worked up.
You take it easy.
He doesn't need to be worked
Hopefully
up.
Hopefully that helped. Nothing will halt comedy like something like that.
A heart attack.
So you visited somebody three times a week. You're like, my sick son. You're like, all right, next.
Okay.
Oh, the way he said it, I was like, wow, that sounds a little odd.
Okay.
Yeah. Matt and Danbury?
I guess I shouldn't tell that guy I've taken a military vehicle on the merit, but, you know, we'll let that slide.
Yes. All right, good.
Don't tell anybody.
Okay. I absolutely hate when you're in, like, a crowded place or, like, an airport, a concert, whatever that may be, and there's a, you know, it's a hallway. You walk down the center of it. You know what I'm saying? You don't just stop in the center of it and have a little congregation.
Yeah.
Look at your cell phones and then talk to everybody. No, no. If you're going to talk and stop, you go to the side. That's my problem.
Yeah, step to the side.
Yeah.
This guy's great.
Yep.
This guy, listen, I'm in airports all the time. As you're saying it, my blood is boiling.
Yes.
And I'm jumping at it. You are 100%. Nothing is worse than when somebody is that selfish that they're going to stop in the middle of people walking to their gate to look at their cell phone. It's like step to the left, step to the right, go to the bathroom.
Step off.
Step off.
Yeah. Yep.
Step off, dude. Yep. It's selfish narcissists.
Yeah, it's the worst thing.
Oh, man.
I'm not too drunk to fly the plane. No, I'm fine.
Steve Greenberg, the gadget guy, is on. Hey.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, do you know what video we're talking about?
I do. I saw the video you're talking about, and I think the one you're referring to is a fake video, but I'm not. That's what I think. But trust me, we're not far from the real thing happening. I mean, it just hasn't happened yet, but it will.
Yeah, but even that robot sniffing dog, or like the that's crazy.
That's nuts.
That's starting to replace cops now, dude. It's you know, I mean, that's.
RoboCop's coming.
They use an artificial intelligence dog to go in when that parking structure collapsed in Manhattan. They had this, like, and they painted them with, like, so he looked like a Dalmatian a little bit. It's kind of cute.
It is funny. They gave it little spots.
Actually, it got tagged by graffiti artists.
They put fur on it.
Right. It makes it look less like a weapon.
It was dropping batteries.
Yeah. Very cute.
Walkies.
But the story that we brought Steve on for is the, and this is a sign it's going horribly bad.
Okay.
Yep.
The godfather of artificial intelligence quit Google and says, we have trouble.
Okay, if the godfather fails,
coming.
If he bails,
he's like, I'm out of here.
Yep.
I'm sorry. I did. It's like a scene out of Terminator.
It's going off the grid. Yep.
Absolutely. I feel like we're in the first 10 minutes of a sci-fi film now.
And he's Dr. Falcon.
Right. He's quitting, and of course something will end up killing him early on in the movie.
Right.
And then we're all left to try to figure out how to get out of this thing. And of course, Will Smith or somebody will step up and save us, but I'm afraid there isn't a Will Smith out there to save us. So it's pretty scary.
Well, this guy quit. He said, we are so screwed. And he said, you know, I justified all of my actions by just thinking that if I don't do it, somebody else is going to do it. So what's the difference?
Right.
But he's like, this thing is growing so fast.
It's completely
out
spiraled.
Of our control.
Yep.
And he quit.
Yep.
That's actually, like, terrifying.
It's terrifying.
It is. Like, that's like
the plot of a movie.
Like, I'm sitting here and I'm just going, like, it's going to be AJ. It's going to be what? Chaz and AJ 150 years from now. You guys are going to be robots sitting here with red eyes and robotic arms.
No, it'll be Chaz and AI.
It's crazy that we could, like, robots are starting to take over, man. It's like for real.
Yeah. This ain't cool.
Literally 1,000 tech leaders, 1,000, not 100 or 10, 1,000 tech leaders earlier this year signed this public letter calling for a halt to artificial intelligence development.
It's too late.
And calling for the government to step in and to regulate it. And it's been pretty much ignored. They sent the letter, I think, to the New York Times, and it went nowhere. This is not, you know, just a couple of them got together. This is literally 1,000 tech leaders all felt this is going down the wrong path. And yet we're merrily, la, 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 as we move forward on this down this road. So it is pretty scary.
Yeah, I'm picturing and a bunch of killer Energizer bunnies.
Yeah, and that, it always starts in a way that, like, seems cool.
Right.
It's like, oh, wow, dude. We got new Nirvana music. Like, how cool is that?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay,
right,
so
right,
here's an example of what's happening. So they're working on this AI that will read your mind. And why are they doing this? They're doing it for stroke victims who can't speak and people who are there. You're in there, but you can't communicate with the outside world. So they're created this machine. It's like an MRI machine. They slide you in. And right now the test is, it's early, but it reads your brain patterns and figures out what you're saying.
Right.
So the machine can't hear things.
No.
It could only read the waves.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So what they'll do is they'll play something to the person, and when the person hears that sound, it thinks that sound, and the machine has been able to identify what the person is thinking almost immediately.
Shut it off.
I heard Joe Biden did that.
Yep.
Yeah.
There's a Joe Biden video out there.
Well, the robot killed itself.
The robot said, I have no idea what the hell he's saying.
Joe Biden did it, and just everything overheated. Yeah. Everything overheated, and there was smoke. There was smoke coming out. Like, they tried to read the brainwaves, and they were like,
can't compute.
It just keeps saying, this smells good. This smells good. Must put my feet down when I stop my bike.
Or I smell toast.
That may be
ice cream.
That's the way to confuse AI. Just send Biden to all the facilities, and the robots will shut down. Right. Be like, we don't know what's happening here.
Yeah, here, go on this pattern.
Does not compute. Does not compute.
And now you got them mimicking voices to the point where it's
near perfection.
It's almost perfect.
Wow.
That's really wild.
I read an article where they tried fooling some people, and almost like 97%, they were able to take a spouse's voice or a child, a parent child, and they could fool them by learning a few words, taking those words, and then expanding the full vocabulary and playing back the artificial voice, and they're like, they couldn't tell the difference.
So Frank Killen was that job.
I read that they only need 3 seconds of someone speaking.
Really?
So if there's a single public TikTok video out there of you talking,
unbelievable.
Done. That's it.
When I was a kid, I watched Mission Impossible, the television show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they would put a mask on and become that person.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, ah, so never going to happen.
Hogwash.
Yeah. Wow.
Yep, it happened.
The thing they had on all the Mission Impossible movies recently is they put a little thing on their throat, like a little clip on, so that the Tom Cruise could become the voice of the other person. And that's actually going to be a real thing. I mean, we're darn close to that.
Oh.
And right now, you use a lot of things. You use your voice now to approve, like, bank transactions and stuff like that. That's all going to be either has to be stopped, or someone bad is going to come in and start doing those bank transactions for you.
I don't know. I used the facial recognition. I'm sure someone's working on that.
Yeah, facial recognition. Yeah.
How can we rip that off from phones?
Will it work if you're drunk?
Dude, that's crazy.
You want to take any money out?
Brainwave reading, it starts off as something good, like for stroke victims and whatnot, which I think is, very commendable.
Exactly.
But then, if someone bad is going to take it, and of course, it's a James Bond villain is going to come in and use it for something really wrong. That one might be Elon Musk, or who knows which James Bond villain is going to be, but someone's going to step up and do that.
How long will it take a computer that can think to get the ability to outthink us? It's not going to be long.
No, it's a computer.
No.
Yeah. Computers and robots don't get hung over.
They don't.
They don't sleep in.
They don't get tired.
They
don't get worn out.
No. Yeah.
They have rough weekends.
Scientists think, as long as we... No, you're done.
Right.
You're done. You're right. They don't need a nap. You're not going to pull over for gas.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not going to see robots in Vegas playing dice.
No.
They don't say, what was that guy's name?
Right.
They're like, boom.
Yeah. The computers enter a room, forget what he came in there for.
There's none of that.
What the hell was that again? What were they doing again?
There's no long bathroom break.
Exactly right.
No strip club visits.
Nothing.
No.
I need more dollar bills.
They can just work 24/7 at outthinking us, and frankly, I don't think they need 24 to outthink us. You know?
No.
An hour and a half in, we're done.
Now, so we did it. It's our demise. We did it.
Yeah.
That's the craziest thing is we created it.
Yeah, now the robots are other robots.
It's literally Terminator 2.
It's Terminator 2. The beginning of Terminator 2, they see all the destruction.
It's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
And they basically say that... you know, they tried to come up with a program to save the planet.
Yeah.
And it turns out that the program figured out that we were the problem.
Yeah. Michael Bain says that he goes, the robots got smart.
Dude, what about...
And they realized that the biggest problem was humans and the total termination.
Yeah, what about the now when humans lose their arms, right? These prosthetics, now they're able to feel. They're starting to make, like, in, like, Star Wars when, like, Luke, not to nerd out, but when, Luke lost his hand and then, like, that's starting to happen. So you're going to see people in the, probably 50 years that are just, it looks like a real thing and could feel, but it's not. It's crazy.
And guess the first thing they'll do?
Bigger penis.
Well, yeah. Yeah, you better.
I've been waiting a long time.
You better get that on the right setting.
Ooh, it's got a massage setting. It's heated.
Yeah.
This one's a lot softer.
Yeah. The glass up the butt will be the least of the doctor's problems when these guys are coming
in. Okay, I can reach it myself.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's 50 years away. I think 50 years is...
We're done in 50 years.
Oh, yeah, we're toast.
It's happening way faster.
There'll be computer programs.
Imagined.
Do you remember humans?
Right?
Yeah, oh, my God. Right.
Yeah. Sorry, kids. We screwed it up for you.
We didn't do it. Somebody else did.
This all sounds like a Marvel plot, right?
What a depressing drive to work.
Yeah, I know. Sorry.
Right. We had a fun run. We had a fun run.
Just going to oncoming traffic.
A fun run.
We had a fun run. It was good, you know?
just cut a left, right? Yeah. Like,
All right, so how about that new iPhone?
Yeah, what the hell?
That's smart, too. It's a smartphone.
You know, all of this, and they still can't get the autocorrect on text right.
Oh, yeah.
It's like it's never what I'm trying to say.
It's never duck. It's never duck. Stop saying duck.
Well, you know, too, the other thing, too, is I fly all the time. I'm in the air constantly. And, you know, these pilots, I'm doing a bit in my act, too, about, like, these pilots are just young. They're phasing out the old pilots.
Yeah.
They're phasing out those grizzled vets that can really – and, I mean, these kids are young. I saw a kid, he was like joking with me. He's like, you know how I learned? He's like, you know how kids
play video games, right?
He goes, video games. He goes, I didn't learn up there. Yeah.
Joystick.
I learned down here. And I'm going, like, that's how these planes are flying themselves. They're flying themselves. And it's like, it's a little unnerving when you see a kid that looks like he just left high school and he's sitting in the cockpit of a Delta 737, you know, 737, going across the country. And
I'm
going,
out of
like,
Doogie Howser.
How long you been doing this, dude?
Yeah.
You know, how long you been doing this?
Yeah, what are you going to do when you have a real problem up here?
Right, and stop saying like every 5 seconds.
And get your face out of your cell phone.
Yeah, for God's sake! Hey, Nigel!
Hello, Pastor.
The temperature in Minnesota is amazing.
Did the pilot just say, this is really neat?
Thank you for boarding. This flight's going to be lit AF.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, we're not the first generation to say,
food
what
on this
hell?
Flight is delish.
just told us all the Netflix and chill.
Wow. There was an article in the Times that I think in 7 or 8 years, there'll be a crisis of shortage of pilots. We're not producing enough pilots. So right now they're already having a problem, but it's going to escalate even greater because, you know, usually a war generates more pilots. You know, World War II generated our first set of pilots, and Korean War, Vietnam War, et cetera. And there's not as many people, young men and women becoming pilots. Yeah. So it's going to be a real problem for all the airlines.
Well, these planes aren't go-karts with wings either. Yeah. These planes are pretty sophisticated. They're like rocket ships.
Yeah, but
you can't just
Jedi.
Get in there and figure it out.
Yep.
So that's another issue.
Well, when the computers do everything for everyone, Paul's going to be like, you know, you're going to be in demand because the only purpose humans will have is to entertain.
Right.
The meat bags.
I'll tell you what, if there's a if robots start doing stand up, I'm going to the beach, dude.
Do we have, can we program that in somewhere? Right.
Yeah, take it to stage the Ha Ha 3000.
Like to write a stand up comedy set?
Right. Can you Google and see if there's.
There was an entire 2 hour Joe Rogan podcast that
I
was
saw
completely.
Some
so
of that.
Yeah, they're already able to mimic the voice and come up with topics and create fake artificial guests that would kind of be in line with the topics that he would choose to have people come on. It was an entire 2-hour podcast. This was not a 30-second clip.
Paul,
the entire podcast.
You've been on Joe Rogan.
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got to get that. And just pick one. We won't tell them which one it is. We're going to pick. We're either going to play you Joe Rogan or we're going to play you fake Joe Rogan.
Yeah,
let's see if you could pick it up.
Okay.
It's unbelievable.
Oh, dude, that's freaking
unbelievable.
Thank you.
Well, that's why. Is this it? I'm sorry.
No. Yep.
Oh, no.
Hold on. Yeah, I'm pulling it up. Go ahead.
No, what I was going to say was, like, that's why I try to always keep my material to personal stuff.
Yeah.
Because a robot's not going to tell a story about my son, I hope.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So, but that's, dude, that's crazy, the fact that they can mimic it like that. Oh, my God. But I'll be at the Stanford. I'll be in Stanford.
Right here.
That's right.
Not a robot.
Not the Hollow 3000.
It's Paul Verzi, not Paul Verzbot.
Right.
Yeah.
New York Comedy Club, Stanford, Friday and Saturday. Steve, thanks for coming on, man.
Always a pleasure. Thanks.
This is
remember,
Steve.
The Gadget Game Show is completely done by human beings. We have no artificial intelligence.
For now.
We have very little intelligence completely, but it's all human beings.
How do we know it's really you on the phone right now?
It may not be. I may be still sleeping.
What's the website?
At GadgetGameShow.com. Check it out. If you like games, you like gadgets, the Gadget Game Show.
Right.
So, yeah, and all done by humans. No artificial intelligence whatsoever.
Nice.
I promise. Never have, never will.
Thank you, Steve. Paul Verzi in studio. He does a podcast with Robert Kelly, Bone to Pick podcast.
Yep.
It's a lot of fun because I think it's fun to bitch about things.
It is. It's going to vent, feel better. Yeah.
It's like therapy. It like lets you just let it out.
Right.
Let it out. Even the little ones.
Yeah.
Because what happens is the little ones add up.
You got to release it.
So if you release a little one, then you could just, it's nice.
Yeah. Like gas.
Yeah. Yeah. You let a little burp out, you feel better.
Little spurts, I suppose, all at once, everybody knows.
Exactly.
Right.
Do you have Bobby when he was on? About the donuts?
Yeah, this went on for much longer, but here's 60 seconds of it.
Here's the kicker.
What?
This guy had the audacity to get not one, not two, but three cinnamon powdered donuts.
Oh.
When was the last time you went and heard anybody go, hey, can I get a cinnamon powdered donut?
We got to tell Paul. What happened right before this started is we put a box of donuts in front of Bobby and said, oh, our intern just went out and got these. And now he's complaining about the selection.
Right. It was a bad selection. Yeah.
So here's our intern, Alec, explaining himself.
I was trying to get the ones you guys asked for. They didn't have any of them. So I just got normal glazed in replacement of the glazed.
Did you ask for these?
I want to kill myself. His tone sucks. His tone just sucks. I'm sorry, dude. You're probably a sweet guy.
He's very sweet. Hard worker.
It's like somehow our fault. Somehow, him getting a job.
You feel
here
guilty right now. You're yelling at us
for a job to go out and get donuts, which is the funnest thing in the world.
Now, he's not like George Costanza.
Listen, I love Bobby Kelly. He's a dear friend. Now we're partners on this podcast. Only he can come in and abuse an intern that did a favor.
Brought him donuts.
In his defense, that guy picked the worst donuts. Did he also get like plain, like the old fashioned? Nobody orders those.
You know what it was? That was Fat Bobby, right? That was Fat Bobby.
Yes, it was.
See, Fat Bobby, that was a big deal for Fat Bobby. Now he would be like, all right, whatever. It is what it is. But when you're fat, you're like, dude, can you get me
I want to get as fat as possible.
Yeah, he wants something else.
I want to leave here fatter than
you. You want
arrived.
The real donut.
And the fear in that intern's voice. I'm going to the fear of that intern's voice because of that lunatic being upset about a flavor of donut.
Yeah,
he should have taken the donuts and said, shut up, fatso, and thrown one in his face and said, you're lucky you're eating in the first place, you fat, you monster. I went out and got you something so you wouldn't.
You're our guest. I'm trying to do a nice thing.
Yeah, we don't want your fat monster to terrorize our studio. So we tried to, comfort you for a little bit.
He
never returned after that.
No, he did not. We made one mistake, though. We brought the donuts in during a commercial break because the second he opened the box, Bobby couldn't wait. He opened the box first. No one else, opened it. Like, oh, here you go. Take what you want. He opened it, and you heard him immediately go, what the F?
Dude, what is this, dude?
Like, who gets so angry looking at a box of donuts?
It's donuts.
If they're donuts, they're happy.
Bobby Kelly.
You say thank you, and then, yeah. Well, right, I'm going to get on him for that when
no.
I see him.
If he could have chucked it, he would have.
I want to kill myself.
Big Chris, what do you got?
Please, please, please. Yep, good morning.
Mouthpiece, please.
First of all, like, mm-hmm.
Mouthpiece.
Huh?
Mouthpiece.
Yeah, we can't hear you.
We talked
mouthpiece.
About movies.
We
Chris.
We can't talk. We can't hear you.
This is mine.
Yes.
This is my bone.
Big bone.
Mouthpiece.
Yeah, hello. Can you hear me now?
All right.
You sound like you're talking through a pillow, brother.
Yeah.
Are you in a pillow?
Are you on a phone?
Here we go.
You on a megaphone.
Right. How about now?
Yes.
Yes.
My goodness.
Into the mouthpiece. Hey.
Yes. Take the donut away.
Okay. All right. Got you. So, yeah, exactly. So three irritate the hell out of me. First of all, Phil and I talk about moving, and especially if you get forced to move because they're selling your home. That sucks.
Now you're off the mouthpiece again.
Yeah, you're back in the donut.
You're drifting.
I'm right here. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I feel like Bobby Kelly looking at a box of donuts.
I want to kill myself.
This is the old fashioned right here. Andre, what's your bone?
I don't mean to sound redundant because everybody talks about driving, but that's when I interact most with the idiot public. It drives. I bought a dash cam recently, which is fun. It's nice. Kind of like greatest hits, and I have like Tourette's, so it's fun to review. But the thing that drives me nuts, it drives me insane when people come to a stoplight and they don't turn on red. Unless it says it, turn your freaking car on red.
That was you.
Get out
me.
Of the way.
That was you behind me.
And the worst is when I honk my horn and they just look at me. I'm like, go!
Yeah, don't look back. The horn means move.
Right.
Yeah, I don't want to look at you. I see you. Go!
Right. Officer, move your car.
God. That's so great. What is it about cars, man, right? Like, that's the one thing that
we have to interact with each other.
I think it's because we have nowhere to go.
Yeah.
We're stuck. Yeah. We're there.
We're stuck with you.
You can't do anything. You can't walk. You can't pace. You watch a sporting event. You can throw something. You could yell. You could, right? You could go into another room. You could go in the backyard and scream. You're in a car. You're just like caged. Yeah. Right, you're just caged, dude.
And you have 2 tons of steel you can hit him with.
Yes, you could.
you are in a deadly weapon.
In your way. Yeah. You have somewhere to go, and they're in your way.
This way, you get those regular donuts and just throw the people that you're driving.
Have a donut!
But just turn right on freaking red. It's simple as that. Unless a sign says it, do it.
I can hear your face getting red right now.
Oh, my God.
Thank you, Andre.
I want to throw furniture. I see you.
This is one, and I understand when you do something nice for someone, you should be doing something nice for someone. And if you expect a thank you, then you're entering into a deal.
Right.
When you hold the door for someone and they walk right through, I know that they didn't ask me to do that.
No,
and
they
I signed up
you
for
chose
this.
To do that.
I am doing something nice.
Because you're a nice person.
But I'm, well, if I was a nice person, I wouldn't expect a thank you.
Really? It's,
I'm expecting the thank you.
You're expecting.
I do realize that I opened the door. They didn't ask for it. They walked through. I did something nice. I leave it at that. I did something
so
nice.
So wait a minute.
But
so
if I don't hear it.
So let me ask you a question.
Thank
if you. Don't, if you don't hear thank you, it bothers you, right? Or no?
Yes. I'll say, you're welcome.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I had that happen.
Depends where I am.
Oh, I had that happen recently.
You know what freaks them out when you say no tip?
That's funny.
You're like, what?
See, that's completely
you're getting the point
AJ.
Across.
It's funny.
You're getting the point across about being an a-hole. No tip?
I just say, you're welcome.
Yeah, you're welcome is you have to. You know, if let me tell you something. If you hold the door for somebody and they don't say thank you,
they're, it says something
they're,
about
they're,
them.
They're a miserable, they're not a happy person.
They feel like they're above everyone.
Oh, dude, I did that. A woman walked in and she just stern face just walked in like I was supposed to open the door for her.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I wanted to take her. Physically and put her back and do it again.
Right.
Do a redo.
Yeah.
But you can't. I wanted to. I got.
Reset.
Listen.
Hold
get
on,
over here. We're doing this again.
You're coming back
okay?
here.
Yeah, we're doing this
Closing
again.
Closing this door.
Oh.
There was actually was a video where somebody did that. There's also another one where the guy was wearing loose boots. He took his boot and threw it at the lady.
He threw it at. Oh, my God.
Bonk. I don't want to share this, but I will.
Go for it.
I was in Las Vegas and I'm on an elevator in a parking lot to get to where the Ubers pick people
up. Stay in Vegas, just so you know.
I walk into the elevator, and there's a guy on a cell phone, and he's talking.
Right.
And the elevator door opens, and I always, if I'm in an elevator, I always, like, do one of these. Like, my hand, like,
after you
could go first.
After you, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
This guy doesn't look up. He just points. Like, in other words, in telling me, like a dog, like where
you,
to go.
What? Okay.
I didn't say anything. I just walked out. But I pictured the elevator just full of blood after that.
Yeah, the whole scenario you played out.
You know what you got to do. Here's what
I just
do.
Pictured the blood-soaked elevator, a cell phone with a hand.
Just, okay. just a blood spatter against the buttons. Okay. Just a blood spatter against the bodies everywhere. I know exactly how you
feel.
And
I'm walking away laughing.
Here's what you do. It's the third floor. He wants to go to the 15th. You hit 15 and you hit 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. So it stops at every single floor.
Yeah.
You'll be riding with him.
I thought.
Well, it's worth it.
You can't even look up and make any kind of human.
Yeah, no, he's in the hole.
We're two humans here.
Yeah.
And then you just point like I'm a dog. Like, yeah.
I don't care if someone's having heart surgery right now.
Oh.
I think the older I get, I'm doing more of telling people things. The older I'm getting, the more I'll just go, be like, oh, you weren't raised right? Just really make them think.
Oh, that's a good one.
Make them think.
Put them on the defensive a little.
Oh, projecting therapy. Yeah,
oh, that's a good one. You weren't raised right.
Yeah, you weren't raised right. Okay, get it. How about that? Do that.
Oh, that's a good one.
Even better. Even better.
I'm taking that.
Even better. Okay. The guy's in the elevator, right? You're not going to go up to the next floor. You do it anyway. But before you do, you let one go. You leave. He's trapped in there with it.
All right, well, I have to have one ready then.
Well, have one.
That's a lot of pressure. I have a quick elevator story while we're still on this topic. So I actually didn't get to share this on the air with you when I got back from my honeymoon. We're leaving Iceland. It was the last part of our trip, and we're coming back to the United States. Now, my wife is an amputee. She wears a prosthetic leg. There are five people waiting to use the elevator to go up to where we're going to board the plane, right? The three people in front of us are Geraldo Rivera, his daughter, and whoever, like, the woman is that he's with.
Seriously?
Now.
The real Geraldo.
The real Geraldo.
Really?
He's been taking pictures with people.
Wow.
He's been saying hello. It's very clearly him, and he's very, like, not afraid to, like, talk to people. So it's the five of us. We all have been given specific boarding passes in Iceland to use just this elevator. The three of them get on. The daughter turns around in the doorway with her hand full stop out like she's a traffic cop and goes, "We're full, thanks." Closes the door and goes up, and we were like, "What the F just happened? Are you kidding me? You're going one floor up."
Right.
Wow.
I cannot tell you, like, I felt the temperature in my body spike by like 12 degrees.
Yeah, you just want to throw a hand grenade in there and say, "Okay, have fun."
Or you grab
enjoy that. Yeah.
You grab your wife, let him beat it with it.
This is an elevator specifically for people with disabilities who need to use a wheelchair or whatever. Like, there's a lot of space in there. Three people is not going to take up the whole elevator.
Wow.
Move to the back. Let us go in.
It was Geraldo's daughter?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
So she was probably enough time with my father.
We weren't even talking to him.
Yeah.
We didn't ask for a picture. Like, we were leaving him alone. We were just waiting to use the elevator. We are just all passengers on a plane at this point. We're just trying to get
into
our seats.
And they don't own the elevator.
No, they don't.
No.
Oh, it incensed me.
You know what'll make you feel
immediately.
Better? Listen to my story online about my father writing Geraldo Rivera a letter.
Nice.
Really? My dad wrote him a letter, and I told it on George Lopez's podcast. And I mean, it's obviously very explicit. But my father is very conservative. He's not like right wing crazy at all.
Yeah.
But he doesn't like when people talk negative about America. And Geraldo said something on TV, and my dad lost his mind, and he goes, "Yeah, but the good news is." Because the good news is they left an email on the TV. They said we could contribute to Geraldo's program. So I wrote him a letter, and I wanted to run by you. And, dude, my father wrote Geraldo Rivera a letter that if I'd be arrested if I read it. If I said it now, they'd take me out of this thing in cuffs. Yeah.
Tore him a new one?
To a point where it's just
like you'd be canceled?
But my dad can't handle if somebody says something or gets, like, canceled or, like, you know. I still haven't talked to my father. Since Tucker Carlson got fired.
Oh, boy.
Because I know what that's going to, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And my father, the funny thing is, like, my father's so Italian. And, like, so when he talks about, like, it's just, my father was in the Bronx for 70 years.
Okay.
And now he's in West Palm Beach, Florida. Right. Just a fish out of water.
He did wear off. You know.
Oh, he's walking around in Hawaiian shirts. He's complaining about down there. He's got socks up to his knees like he's on a cruise ship.
That's a sitcom.
Yeah, you look at him, you're like, oh, that guy's from the Bronx and he's in Florida.
Right.
And he's just like, I know, you know, and he always says the whole names of people.
So I'd be like, do you see what they did to Tucker Carlson? That's how it's going to go.
Yeah,
it's right. A disgrace what they did to Tucker. And it's just funny listening to his voice. No, because Tucker tells the truth. I'm just like, Dad, I just want to talk to you.
You're going
to
call
him. Yeah, we're just having a conversation.
I haven't talked to you in a while. Yeah, but no.
I'd love to. So do you have a copy of this letter?
Or, there's a video. You can just, there's a video. It's like viral.
I'm going to go.
It starts off, Dear Geraldo Rivera.
Well,
and that's the nicest part of the, that's the nicest part of the letter. And then he just says stuff.
Those are the only words you can read from it.
Yeah. And sincerely, no, but that's it, man. He laid into him. So my dad's a riot, dude. Like over the top Sicilian from the Bronx.
Oh yeah, I love him already.
That's an Italian thing because my grandfather did that. He had somebody dictated. Goes, Dear so and so, you dirty son of a bitch.
With the first line.
Oh yeah, yeah, they go right in. He goes right in. Like yeah. I thought it was going to be a nice letter. He's like, I wrote him a letter.
Oh, that's nice.
And I wanted to run it by you because I know you're out there in the world. That's what he said.
out there, whatever that means.
Yeah, I know you're telling penis jokes in strip malls. Let me read this to you.
You know, it might be the same industry. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he just
goes
into
the each other.
Right. You TV people.
Yeah, so you talk to the president, my son? Yeah. How's the president doing?
How did Bill Burr find you? Like, you guys were friends in the beginning, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, we're still so close. You know, Bill is my son's godfather. And Bill saw me. I opened for Bill in, like, 2005 in Montclair, New Jersey. And he didn't see the set. He heard it. He was downstairs. And he was just like, were you the other guy on the show?
And it's like you just heard the crowd going
nuts. And he was like, dude. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to watch. And then we just started to become friends. It's weird. It's like bittersweet because he's on the West Coast. I'm on the East Coast. I haven't opened for Bill in like six or seven years now.
It's like having a favorite uncle living across country.
Yeah, he's just like a mentor and a friend now. So we get to do stuff here and there. We do a podcast called Anything Better every once in a while and during football season especially. But yeah, he just saw me, took a liking to me, man, and said some really nice things about me young and said things that he thought I would do, which I didn't even realize I was going to do, but he saw, and now I'm kind of doing them. So it's really cool. And he's been great, man. He's he's my son's godfather. So it's, we always get into it.
Did you see him in that Aerosmith?
I did see that. That was really cool.
That's when you know, you're that guy.
Yeah.
He's that friggin' guy.
He's that guy.
Yeah.
It's so like, good. Who are we going to get the closest thing?
Yeah. I know.
Obviously.
Bill Burr.
Right.
Yeah. That was great. I was happy for him too. Yeah. He's him and Bobby come from the same, you know, they're both great guys, but then you get into an argument and it's like you're talking to, you're talking to lunatics.
It's one of your buds.
But, yeah it's one
it's
of my
funny
buds.
How I remember them being the kids in the business.
Yeah.
And now they're the elder statesmen.
They're the OGs.
It's the OGs.
Yeah. Yeah. They are.
It's weird. You see, you're like, oh, man, dude, this is like, I even found like me and Giannis Pop is a good friend of mine, funny comic. Giannis and I will be at like the stand and we'll be at the table and we see like the real newbies come in. And they're looking at us the way we looked at.
Yes. Yeah.
And he brought that up to me, and I'm going, oh, my God. Does that mean we're getting old?
You're getting up there.
It's like a good thing because you feel like, oh, an established comic. But then you're like, oh, we're getting times.
All of a sudden, you're like Yoda.
Kids,
they are.
And then yesterday I get a colonoscopy. I'm like, oh, yeah, things are changing. They took 2 polyps out. You know, I'm getting sick.
Oh, my God, I'm having coffee during the day.
Did you ever see Rodney Dangerfield live?
I did. That's a great. That's a great. But I was a kid. My dad took us to Radio City Music Hall in like 1987. It was like when Back to School was out.
Oh,
and
wow.
My dad got 3 tickets for me. I don't know how I was allowed, but he got tickets for me. And that's when you had to go to a payphone and call Ticketmaster.
Yeah.
You know, and me, my older brother, and my dad. And by the end, I remember seeing Rodney come out. I remember his opener. I think it was Bob Nelson. And
Bob
Nelson.
Wow. He loved him.
That's great.
I think it was Bob Nelson, and then Rodney came out and started killing. And by the end of it, I was sleeping on my dad's lap. But like I talk about how the seed was planted because I remember seeing that and Rodney
control in the room.
Oh,
but
dude.
Just like old time show business too, you know, where you wear a suit on stage and your shoes are shined.
Right.
And that delivery,
it
was so unique that people, if you imitate that anywhere on the planet,
they know
who you're doing.
They know immediately.
We always talk about Rodney, too. Like, Rodney's just one of those guys, dude. I read his book from top to bottom, and it was like, oh, my God. He dealt with depression. Like, for a guy that was so silly like that, you see the demons and stuff, and we all deal with that stuff. So you're just like, oh, man, dude.
Right.
what you go
like
through.
Robin Williams, who even knew?
Oh, my God. It's
Mike, who even saw that one coming?
Didn't see that coming at all.
Yeah. Brutal. Well,
I think it's a what you do is you project happiness when you're going through stuff, I think. And we all go through it, right?
But
I think that that's a way to kind of deal with it.
I just scream, yell, talk into the mouthpiece.
And then you're back.
It's like your Bone to Pick podcast.
Yes. That's it. No,
you get it out. You feel better.
We're living amongst dumb animals, and when you can yell at that and get it out, and then you really get feel, then you're like, oh, okay,
all right, I'm good now.
I'm just going to deal with the normalcy around me, and I got it out.
Yeah.
Because you're never going to, listen, you're not going to change the dumb animals.
No.
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 No. Because they're dumb animals.
Thank you for coming in, brother.
Dude.
You're always welcome here.
Yes. So thank you so much for having me. And,
absolutely.
And I really appreciate it. And guys, come out this weekend. This is the best hour I've ever done. And I usually don't say this, but I'm going to tell you, this is it's going to be a great time in there. I can promise you that. I can promise you're going to see a really great comedy show. And, check out my podcast, The Verzi Effect, Bone to Pick with Bobby Kelly, Anything Better with Bill Burr, and the special Nocturnal Admissions on Netflix. I really appreciate you guys.
What do you do in your spare time?
I got two little ones.
He yells at dumb animals.
I got two little ones, and my wife, you know, makes me run errands. And,
nice.
That
writes emails to people on the TV, you know.
Yeah. We're so happy for your success.
Oh, dude. Congrats. Thank you guys so much.
Congratulations,
man. I really appreciate it.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now, and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.